Calling all theater lovers, it's me, your Broadway buddy, Ben Cameron, back with another episode of The Broadway Cast with Ben Cameron. And now is the time to seize the day on The Broadway Cast. See what I did there? All right, who out there listening remembers the original Newsies movie? I'll wait. No, I won't. Okay. It was heaven. I was a theater-obsessed preteen when I saw the film, which starred Christian Bale. Yes, that Christian Bale, American Psycho Christian Bale, Gore the God Butcher Christian Bale. All these dudes were dancing and singing. They weren't even dressed up as cats. Can you imagine? If you remember the film, you surely also remember thinking, when are they taking this thing to Broadway? It seemed like a no-brainer like never before. I figured I would hit my peak at just the right time and be a Broadway newsie for sure. Well, the road to Broadway for the Newsies was a long one. I guess it's time that I said this out loud. I hope you support me in this. I did age out. I feel better now. I feel cleansed. It was worth the wait, though. Newsies hit the stage and the world did know. See? I did it again. I remember sitting in the mezzanine of the Nederlander Theater, and I may as well have been at a One Direction concert. So crazy were the fans. Where did they find these boys? These rock stars, all singers and incredible dancers with a median age of, I don't know, like 14. Newsies became a phenomenon in a way the film could never have been. Newsie trading cards, check. Stage door mania, check. It's been 10 years now since Newsies became the king of New York, and I wanted to check in with a few of the gents who know what it is to carry the banner. Oh, somebody stop me. All right, today we welcome my pals, Ben Fankhauser, Ryan Steele, and the very shy and demure Tommy Bracco, to reminisce on the show, The Change Theater, and their lives forever. It's all about the Newsies. Now, before we meet those gents, want to remind you to subscribe to the show, rate us, review us, share us with your friends. And if you'd like to support us further, by all means, become a supporter on Patreon and we'll make exclusive content just for you and nobody else, just you. You can click the link in the liner notes and support our Patreon family right there. All right, put on a newsboy cap. Here we go. Let's go on with the show. As a wise person once said, it's time to open the gates and seize the day with these. Oh, yeah. It's going to be like that for the whole show, my friends. They're already giggling. That's what it's going to be like. Let's say hello. Spot Conlin, Tommy Bracco is here. Tommy, hi.
Hello, Ben. Hello, everyone. I'm so happy to be here.
I was saying to Tommy just a moment ago before we started recording that I can't believe we haven't met. I kind of feel like I'm already your friend, even though this is the first time we're getting each other face to face. So we'll fix that from here on out.
Sounds good.
I'll call you every 5 minutes. Don't worry, it'll be great. Love it. It'll be really, really tame. Not creepy at all. Specs is here. Ryan Steele.
Hi, Ben. Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. I know you're in the middle of rehearsals for, well, why don't you tell the people what you're rehearsing for?
Yeah, I just ran back to my apartment from MCC. I'm rehearsing a new musical called Only Gold. Our first preview is October 5th. Come and see us.
Can you tell us about the show?
Sure, yeah. It's written and co-written by Andy Blankenbuehler and Tim O'Rourke, and the music is by Kate Nash. And it's brand new story, fantastic cast, lots of dancing, lots of amazing original music, and some of Kate's old favorites. We're having a great time.
Awesome. I am very excited about that. I have been since I saw the notices about that. And Davey Jacobs is here. It was inevitable. Ben Fankhauser.
Hello. Hi, my Broadway buddy. Good to see ya.
Good to see you too. My God, the last time we were together, I'm pretty sure we were getting a Vogue lesson on the boardwalks of Fire Island.
Oh, I'm sure of it. Thanks for having me. Hi, boys.
Also, just want to give you a huge congratulations. The cast album just came out for a commercial jingle for Regina Comet.
Yay, Ben. Cool.
Thank you. Everybody listening, download it now. Or even better yet, pay for it, or if that's even a thing. So I want to talk to you guys. It's been 10 years, and where in your lives, either before or since Newsies, have our paths crossed?
I'm sure we've got the Newsies get-togethers and that sort of thing, but yeah, have we worked together in other contexts?
I think we have, but before Newsies, I don't think any of us knew each other really, maybe peripherally, but Newsies is what brought all three of us together.
Was it love at first sight?
Yes.
100%.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
Absolutely. All right. It truly was. Tommy, it was so lucky.
I'll never forget meeting Tommy Bracco for the first time. You were like one of the first people I really remember meeting at in the rehearsal room over the first few days. You were wearing a leather jacket. And you looked so cool in your headshot. And I was like, this guy's so cool. And he's spot common. Like, who do we have here?
I was like, leather jacket.
I feel
yes, leather jacket. Come through.
I
also,
believe
we started rehearsals in August and you were wearing a leather jacket.
Maybe you're just wearing a jacket in your headshot.
Listen, you got to have a look, wear a look, be a look.
Yeah.
And turn a look. I know that's
turn
right.
a look. That's what it is. L-E-W-K look. All right. I want to play a quick game just to get us warmed up to the conversation. This is Broadway headline. So I've created a newsy style Broadway headline that would be in a newspaper. And the first one of you to jump in and identify what musical this news story is about gets the point. There are extra points if you sing or hum from the show that is involved. Don't be polite. Rip each other limb from limb. This is all right. Extra, extra. Residents say meat pies to die for at local bake
Sweeney
shop.
Todd.
Ding, 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 Sweeney Todd.
Oh.
Attend the tale of Sweeney Todd.
Yes. Okay. Extra points for
thank you.
For Davey.
Who got it?
Tommy, I think you got in there first.
You were quick.
Right.
You were quick.
That's right.
This comes to the business section of the paper. From mail room to boardroom. Oh, Ryan, that was vicious and correct. Yeah. He's right. Yeah. So amped up right now. He's having a gorilla panic.
Now I'm really getting into it.
Okay,
let's
come
go.
On, let's go. Let's break a sweat. All right, this is from the Around Town section of the paper. After 2.5 hour song and dance competition, Sad Cat cashes in on Ninth Life.
Cats?
Cats.
Yeah, it's cats. I don't. What else could it be? Cats. Wait.
Oh, like Steel Pier?
Oh, wait a minute. Deborah Monk was on Cats. Wait, have you ever done Cats? Oh, yeah. No? Me.
No, I haven't.
None of you? That's weird. I feel like there would be some sort of really intrinsic Newsies Cats crossover. I'm sure there is. But
there were a lot of that did Cats, I remember, but we weren't any of them.
Yeah. Do you know what? I can't imagine after Newsies, though, if Cats came along, that you would be like, oh no, I did my time.
Maybe Cats in concert.
Yeah, yeah. One quick kitty skip. What? I don't know what I'm saying. All right. This is from the behind bar section of the paper. Hashtag kitty skip. Film star arrested for murder.
Chicago.
Following bizarre police standoff.
So it wasn't Chicago?
It was not Chicago. No. It was not.
Goes to jail. Kiss me, Kate.
Yeah, we can only assume. Yeah,
Sunset
that's.
Boulevard?
Yeah, Sunset Boulevard, of course. Absolutely. And I really racked my brain for a very long time to come up with a fifth one, but I didn't. So that's it. That's how we play the game.
Yeah.
And the game is over. Well done. Yeah. It's Sunset Boulevard.
Good job, Tommy.
Oh, Sunset Boulevard.
Thank you.
Yeah, because that whole last scene where she loses her freaking mind and wins the Tony is happening and the police are all there and then she shoots the guy. It's nuts. All right, let's start at the very beginning. It's a very good place to start. Before you were newsy, of course, you were a human of another sort. I want to know what sort that was and when you got bit by the theater bug, or was it the dance bug, or was it all of the bugs? Fun things to talk about during a pandemic and a monkeypox outbreak. Let's give us the Cliff's Notes. Ryan, where did it all start for you?
I started dancing at a dance studio when I was 6 years old. And I think I kind of felt I got bit by the dance bug right away. I loved my dance teacher, Miss Kelly Levine. I love you. It was just easy, like once a week on Fridays until I was about 11. And I started to take it really seriously. And my sister was in it. And it turned into a family thing. My dad became the stage manager at my recitals.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was, I just really fell in love with it. And my first musical was I was a butler in Annie in a high school production, and then I moved to New York and started working, and I guess got bit by the theater bug along the way. I was a late starter in theater though. I knew like dance was my shit, and then it led me into my first show was West Side Story, so that's an easy sort of transition into theater. So I kind of got bit by the bug along the way.
Awesome. I feel like I, along the way back in your journey, I'm pretty sure that I have judged you in dance competitions.
I'm sure you have.
Yes. Hilarious. But I think I scored you really high. So
thank you.
So this should go well. How about you, Tommy?
I kind of always like dabbled in theater and dance. I grew up at a competition dance studio. I was doing like community theater, but I never really wanted to do it professionally until after high school. I went to a performing arts high school, and my teachers gave me the courage to go out and do it professionally. And I kind of just did it. I fell into it kind of by accident. It wasn't like I know this is what I want to do my entire life. It was just, it kind of happened by accident, but then I just kept going and I fell in love with it.
Can you take me back to the community theater productions and tell me what roles did we have in the community theater world?
Well, I think one of the highlights would definitely be Chief Powhatan in Pocahontas. Yeah. That was great. Yep. So I played the dad. That was fun. Mm-hmm. And what else? Oh, I did Shenandoah.
Shenandoah.
Love Shenandoah. And that was about it. Then I went into high school.
You know what? I didn't think we'd be talking about Shenandoah at all today. So thank you for that gift. I didn't see it coming.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, didn't see the conversation going down a Shenandoah pike. Ben Fankhauser, how about you?
Few things make me happier than a community theater doing a very niche musical. It is astounding.
Absolutely.
Good for your teachers and your directors and everything. I got bit by the theater bug at a really young age. My mom put me in a theater day camp when I was probably like 10 or 11, and I was obsessed with it. I didn't have a ton of friends at school, and all of a sudden at theater camp, I had all these friends. I realized I was good at something. Like,
oh, forget
it was
it,
all
yeah.
a community, you know, work together to make it happen. So my early roles or some of my early star turns were, I was also in Annie. I was, Bert. Is that someone in Annie?
Bert Healy.
Bert. Yeah. Bert Healy.
Yeah. You're never Thank fully dressed you. Without a smile. Don't be ridiculous.
I know that's right. Although I think I shared the song with someone. So it was like Bert Healy and his friend, you know, and,
Bert and Brett Healy.
The Wonder Twins.
Yeah.
And among those roles, I actually got to participate in an unauthorized production of Newsies in the 90s. Right when the movie had come out, my camp counselors thought they would be cheeky and drum up a sort of all kids version of Newsies. And they like took dictation from the movie and made us a script. And we actually had a set of identical twins who played the Delancey sisters. And that was terrific.
I love the Delancey sisters' work. They're very, yes. they're so yes. threatening.
So you know threatening. I mean, causing lots of problems.
Absolutely. I think you've stirred a memory in me. I think in ninth grade, which I'm going to date myself here, Newsies, the movie was not that old. And my like chorus in Utah decided to do a Newsies concert. And I'm pretty sure I did a lyrical duet to Santa Fe. And there were Fuete turns. Full Fuete turns involved in a single soul jazz shoe.
Oh, that sounds beautiful.
I'm Nothing really
better. Not even a split soul yet. Okay.
You thought it was going to be a wood soul?
I thought it was going to be a split soul. I thought we were going to get some jazz, some contemporary jazz at least.
Oh, well, I'm telling you, that's before they had contemporary jazz. That's when it was just jazz, lyrical jazz, and funk. Those were your options. So 10 years ago, a little Disney show opened on 41st Street at the Nederland Theater and ran for over 1,000 performances. It was so long coming. It was so highly anticipated. It had to have been the knockdown, drag out bloodbath of the century getting into this show. Tell me about your audition process.
I think, at least for the dancers, I bet Ben's was a bit different, but there were just, it's every male dancer, male identifying dancer in the city going in for this. Actually, and for Paper Mill, they were originally supposed to be two female newsy tracks. So there, it was pretty a mixed bag near the final callbacks. But that final callback day at Dance Theater of Harlem, Tommy, you remember this? It was insane. I hurt myself a little bit of the way through, but I was like, I'm not losing this show.
We were so hungry. The energy in that room was so insane. I've never been in a room like that ever since, and I don't think I ever will. Honestly, it was really special.
Yeah, we all just wanted it so badly.
How many callbacks are we talking?
Four or five.
Yeah.
Yeah, and did you along the way at some point go, I got this. This is mine.
Never, no. Because that last room was just really insane.
Yeah,
they could have amazing dancers.
I remember that Chris Catelli said, you know, there were 60 people in the final callback room and they needed 18. He said they could have cast the show three times over with all different people from that room and the show would have been amazing each time. Like every single person was so good. It was the best dancers in the world, I felt like, in that room.
Oh, it would have had to have been. Yeah. I can't.
And even like speaking to what you were just saying, it was there that moment that we felt like we're going to get it. Even when we did all get it and we were in rehearsals, it wasn't a competitive thing that we had. It was just always trying to do better and better and better.
Yeah.
So there was never like a feeling of contentment, like just being like, I'm here and this is mine. It was always just like, we were always that hungry for it because we loved it, you know?
Yeah, we were always fighting. It's true.
What was it like for you, Ben?
I had a bit of a different experience. From what I hear, Davey was the last role cast. So I think they had been looking for some time, or they lost someone, or someone got another job or something. And I remember I wanted to audition for months, but I couldn't. I was in school still. I couldn't get away. And one day I auditioned for like the national tour of the Addams Family, which was by the same cast by the same people. And I didn't get that one, but they called me in for Newsies because of that failed audition, which is a story I love because, you know, when one door closes, another one opens. We got to keep the hope alive. And I auditioned over 2 days. I like hate to say it. And I've never had an audition process like this since. I mean, it's unheard of. I auditioned on a Monday afternoon. They said, can you come back and dance at, you know, 6 or 7 o'clock at night? It was me and probably 6 to 8 actor dancers. And woo, I ate it up. I know I did, because like I knew I could compete in a room full of actor dancers. I probably could not compete in a room of dancer dancers. And I was just, it was such a beloved movie for me. And speaking to what you guys were talking about in terms of like, it wasn't like, oh, is this going to go to Broadway? Are we going to be good? Like any of that showbiz worry that we've come to sort of like take on as, you know, seasoned professionals was not there. You know, we were at our rawest and we just wanted to, at least for me, I just wanted to do justice to the movie. That movie, I'm sure I'm not alone, like got me so psyched about Broadway, got me so psyched about being a performer. And the fact that I had that opportunity, it was like, I'm not going to squander this moment. And I'm so nostalgic for that time because it was such a pure level of like, I want to better myself and just like get close with my company and just do an amazing job rather than like, are we going to go to Broadway? Is this going to be a hit? Am I going to be able to pay my rent? Blah, blah, blah. You know, it was very pure.
I've got to imagine too, that was probably due a little bit to everyone's young age. We weren't thinking
for
about
sure the green. There was a bit of greenery and that definitely helped.
And it's the dreamiest job of dreamy jobs for all everybody who wanted to be there, which was everybody. Do you remember where you were when you got the phone call and how you responded? I love these stories.
I was in my apartment. That wasn't that exciting, but I had my roommates around me and we were able to celebrate.
Did you squeal?
I squealed, and then at the same time, my agent was like, also, Gatelli wants you to be the dance captain, and then I pooped my pants a little bit.
Okay. That's visceral. Yeah. Were you like, did you know what a dance captain was? Well, of course you knew what that was at that point, but was that something you had hoped would be part of your journey with Newsies?
I didn't really think about it because I didn't want to swing it, and normally that's the case when you're a dance captain. Sure. Normally, But so I was going to be an onstage dance captain. So I knew that I had my work cut out for me, but mostly I just felt so honored to have the respect from Chris Catelli that came with. So I was freaking out, but I was also so honored.
Yeah, such hard work, dance captain. What about you, Tommy? Where were you?
I was in my kitchen, my parents' kitchen, and I was just pacing back and forth around the island in the kitchen and walking in a circle, talking to my agent, and I was just like freaking out. And that was it. I was with my family. It was really nice.
Oh, did they cry? Family cried.
Yeah, we all cried.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It was pretty special. Yeah.
Also, congratulations on growing up in a kitchen with an island.
That's Staten Island. It's amazing.
All that room. How about you, Ben? Where were you?
I was also in my kitchen. I was living in a sublet in Inwood, which is at like the very tip of Manhattan. And that's where I got the call for Broadway. And then the call for Paper Mill, I was walking because I lived so far away. It took me like an hour to get home from my final callback, which was the following morning. And once I got off the train, my agent called me and was like, "Hey, where are you? Can you come to the office?" I think he had something pretty extravagant planned. You booked Broadway or whatever it was. But I was like, I'm all the way on the tip of Manhattan. And it took me an hour to get home. He's like, "All right, fuck it. I'll just tell you." And then I was like on the streets in Inwood and like, oh my God, oh my God. You know, did not really expect to get it. Like the boys were saying earlier, like it was just one of those things where it was like, this is just cool to be at the finals. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. And then when the call finally came in, it was like, oh my God.
Well, and in two auditions, no less. I mean, I think that's the power of walking into a room where they are so glad you exist. If they've been looking so hard to find that, it's a perfect, and you were absolutely perfect for that role.
Right. I mean, thank you. You know, and question. Also speaking to what you were talking about earlier, like the sort of like us being at our young age and our prime and green, I think that kind of shielded me from taking on the kind of pressure that I might put on myself nowadays, being like, oh, this is a big room with 20 Disney execs in it. You know, like that it's a big thing to walk into a room like that and kind of try and own the space. And when you put pressure on yourself, it's hard.
Oh, yeah. Or the inner saboteur. It became such a phenomenon so quickly. Did you know in the rehearsal studios as you were rooting each other on and coming up with this and creating this, did you have that feeling like this is going to hit and it's going to hit big? Or were you still kind of like, I hope it goes?
It was no expectations. Okay. Like I at least this is how I felt. I was like, I'm not expecting it to go to Broadway, but I also feel like this is so big, and this is like, it felt like we were making musical theater history. Like it felt like that's what was happening in the room.
Yeah,
that the energy was like, it didn't feel like it was just a little run at Paper Mill, but it also didn't feel like, oh, we're definitely going to Broadway either.
Right, because the trajectory of the show was a 3-month run at Paper Mill, and that was it. And then they were going to license it to regional theaters and schools and stuff. So like near the end of the Paper Mill run, when we realized that the crowds were eating it up, and we just like, we wanted it so badly. We wanted to know any information, but we didn't hear anything until all of a sudden we found out that Newsies was performing on the Thanksgiving Day parade.
Oh. and no one had told you?
Oh? Well, it was the Paper Mill production. They hadn't announced Broadway yet. And I think they were just I don't know the ins and outs of what happened, but it was something that like we checked in with each other every single day after Paper Mill closed. Like, have you heard anything? Have you heard anything? Cause it was just something that was so special. And we didn't, I don't even know what Disney knew, but it was.
Yeah, we were just like, there's no way that was the end of the road. This is too special. We saw what was happening. People were flying from all over the world to come to little bumblefuck New Jersey to see Newsies. Like, he said we could curse, right? So it's okay. So
yeah, no, bumblefuck is approved.
Like, people were flying from Australia. You don't fly from Australia to see a little quick show and then it just goes away like it never happened. We felt like it was something really special. So, like, I actually think, like, now that we're talking about it and thinking about it, I think at some point I was like, there's no way this is the end. This is, I don't know what's going to happen, but something will happen. This is too big, too special, two, like, it just felt like a huge moment in musical theater history. And we felt that energy. We did.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like I kind of knew it all along. Like, once we got in the room and we were all just playing, I honestly, it was probably the moment that Ryan turned on the papers that really I was like, there's no way this is just like going to be in New Jersey. I'm sorry. Like, that's not
this can't be for just Jersey.
Right. Can't be for just Jersey. He's turning on newspapers. Damn it.
Most of the time, 7 shows a week, maybe, if I was lucky.
Well, Tommy, let's talk about these people that are flying from Australia. The audience reaction to this and to this day remains, and I will tell you this, I am the main stage host of BroadwayCon, so I see all the cosplay every year, and the newsies are still a number one thing. The fan reaction of the fanzies is epic. What was your take on, did you feel like rock stars? I know there were playing cards that were put out there at one point. I know when I sat at the Nederlander Theater and watched it, I felt like I was in the middle of a bunch of ravenous animals about to dine on One Direction, you know?
I remember after our first preview, we were given, or right before our first preview, we were given Sharpie markers with our names on them. And sorry if my dog's barking.
No, it's okay. They like dogs.
Okay. speaking for myself, I was like, Jeremy Jordan's gonna need this. Kara Lindsay's gonna need this. I'm not gonna need this. No one's gonna know who I am. No one's gonna want my autograph, but like, that's sweet, Disney. Thank you for this Sharpie marker with my name on it. And then I will never forget walking out of the stage door after the first preview and the amount of people there and the screams for every single cast member in the production. And as time went on, they knew all of our names, all of our character names, which this was my third Broadway show at the time, and that never happens. No one, like, also thank you to the writers of the show for giving every single person on stage a character name for the audience to connect to and relate to and shout out our character names when we walk out of the stage door, because that doesn't happen often. And that was such a gift as a serial ensemblist. Like, we don't get that a lot, you know? We're not, like, I was expecting to walk out, leave, and then Jeremy Jordan will be there an hour later still signing autographs. But that was us, which was insane. Yeah. It was so crazy.
Was it thrilling? Did it ever get exhausting, that stage door experience? No?
Not for me. I mean, growing up a theater kid, I grew up in Ohio, and I was lucky enough that my mom took me every year. My Hanukkah gift was the season subscription to the touring shows. And I was the one lone person at the stage door in the dead of winter in Cleveland, Ohio, trying to get autographs.
You found the stage door.
I found the stage door. I know, that's right. You know, and like, yeah, like the second national tour of like freaking whatever it was, Cats coming through, and I want to meet every person. So I know what it, I remember being that kid and just having a dream and just wanting to meet these people that gave me so much happiness and such a break from my normal everyday life. And so to get to be on the other end of that never got old, and it still never gets old. I love to be that source of happiness for someone. I think that is like the coolest thing in the world.
I mean, look at that moment with our producer Danny's daughter, who's obsessed with that and was able to see you on screen for a moment, said, "Oh, Davey, makes me laugh."
Yeah, I love it. It's a legacy. Cool. You know, theater is a legacy. It's passed down. So to feel like we're part of that legacy is so special.
What are the most special fan gifts that you've received? Oh, everyone just ate the canary. Everybody just you don't want to talk about it? It's been 10 years. You can talk about it now.
We had a couple, we hung up a lot of our fan art. That's what kind of was most special for me to see and be reminded of every day. All of our dressing rooms and some of the hallways backstage had fan art hung up.
Oh, cool.
And some of like the way that fans perceived our characters or in illustrations or poems or whatever just was really cool to always be reminded. Like if we were tired one day, we would without fail pass some wall of fan art on our way down to the stage, and it would give me a little boost, you know.
Yeah, that's gotta feel good. That takes time to make the art pieces. Forget about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I got a block of
Oh, yeah, lots of smackeries. I did get a block of cheese once.
That was my favorite.
So cheese.
Tell me about this.
I'm not even kidding, Ben. It was probably, I need something in here to show how big it was.
Was it a wheel of cheese?
I can't find anything. It was a block as big as my head of baby Swiss cheese. And it was addressed to me, but it didn't have a card. Like, it didn't say who it was from. So we were all bugging out. We were posting who sent the baby Swiss? And we finally got to the bottom of it. We found out who sent it. It was some guy, but it was so funny. And that was definitely the most obscure gift that I ever got in my life. Still, no one's ever gotten me a huge block of cheese the size of my head, but I loved it. It was great. We put, because it was a baby Swiss cheese, we put baby arms in it. We had on it. We were always being so stupid backstage and doing the craziest things. It was so many funny moments back there. That was, for me, that was the best part of the entire experience.
We had cut sandwiches for a week.
How long?
Tommy seven jelly sandwiches from the dressing room.
Yeah, I could have been. Seriously.
Do you know the whole story of receiving a non addressed cheese makes me feel that's like the first 10 minutes of a Law and Order episode.
Yes.
You're like, okay.
It did feel a little bit like that at first. I remember thinking, why do I feel violated by this cheese? But then we cracked the code. And we figured out who it was, and it wasn't
Oh my gosh, why eat it when you can dress it up? That's what I say.
Yeah.
I was blown away when I got to see the final product of the show and feel that energy from the audience and just be overwhelmed. I felt like the talent was rolling off the stage like a tsunami and hitting this audience. And there's this wonderful back and forth exchange. And I don't even think that I saw the show very early on in the run, but the energy was still so intense and the performance is so impressive. Take me into the rehearsal room. This is as inside the actor studio as this is going to get. Inside the rehearsal room, tell me a little bit about that process. Was it so physically strenuous? Was there a group warm-up that had to happen? Were there big moments that you loved that got cut or changed?
Go, Ben.
No, I'm just thinking. I mean, I maybe y'all can talk about the Circus Nagurkis, because that's, I feel like, the main thing. I'm surprised we didn't have a company warm-up every day, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone was pretty diligent in terms of warming themselves up. Also, we were 20 and under, so besides Aaron Albano, sorry Aaron,
who wanted very much to be with us today, but sadly he's Hamiltoning up right now, so
yeah.
Oh, that little show Hamilton,
you've heard of that.
Go ahead Ryan. No, Ben, you go.
This is far too polite.
I'll just tell a quick anecdote. Okay, I'll tell a quick anecdote about it. So we had, Ryan's going to speak more on it, and maybe Tommy. We had a day, our first or second day rehearsal, probably our first, called Circus Magurkis, where it was everyone bring your tricks and special skills into the room so Chris can see what we all can do and he can build the show around us. I think that's what makes Chris Catelli very special, is that he is in tune with what his people can do. He's not the kind of choreographer that makes it up in his mind and goes, okay, here are the moves, do them. He's building it around us. And I'm like, okay, Circus Magurkis, sure. I had no idea I was going to be in a room with the best dancers in the world. So I showed up with my split sole jazz shoes, maybe a tap, I don't know, my wide leg jazz pants. Yeah. And it was ready to dance. And then I met all the guys and saw the tricks they were doing and promptly sunk into the corner and was like, I don't know if I belong here.
Put back your hula hoop.
Right, my ribbon dancing, yes.
Was there a day that was particularly tough, Tommy, in rehearsal?
Oh my God. So on opening night, I was so excited. I couldn't even believe the energy from the audience. I truly was just my adrenaline could not shut off. I couldn't shut my body off. I didn't sleep at all the night after our first preview.
I know what you're about to say.
Then I came in the next day and I accidentally ate energy beans. They were like jelly beans, but they had caffeine in them. They didn't have, I didn't know that these jelly beans had caffeine in them. And I was eating them like you would eat jelly beans, like handfuls. And I went home that night, and for the second night in a row, I could not fall asleep. So now I'm running on literally not sleeping at all two nights in a row. This that we just finished our second preview. I had to call out of the show on the third preview because I was so like, I couldn't sleep. I felt like I was like getting like paranoid. I was like getting delusional. Like things weren't making sense. I felt like I was in the Twilight Zone. So I literally had to call out of the show on the third preview because I was so, I just couldn't come down.
And mind you, Tommy is normally the person that we all call on for a pep talk before the show.
Right.
Like every special performance that we have on Dancing with the Stars, on ABC, the Tony Awards, we're like, okay, we need a Tommy pep talk. So when Tommy walked in and was a little bit tired and down, we were like, what's wrong? He's like, I had too many energy beans. We knew it was bad.
Oh, it was so bad. That was my hardest day, like calling out of the third preview. Like I didn't want to call out, but I literally hadn't slept and I felt like I was losing my mind. So I was like, I think I have to stay home.
Listen, the witch in Into the Woods was right. Don't ever mess around with the beans, I guess.
Hey.
Oh, that's right. Hey. I'm a homosexual. So talk to me, you mentioned a little bit earlier about how special it was that every character was given its due and a name. I want to talk about finding your character in a sea of characters. I'd like to start in what you found in yourself to bring to Davey, Ben, and what you learned about him along the way.
Totally. I was a big fan of the movie, so I knew Davey pretty well. I knew he sang Seize the Day. I knew he was kind of like the brains, where Jack was kind of the heart. And that's kind of where I started with it. And Harvey adapted a great script. And I felt like my audition scenes particularly had all the information I needed in terms of how to, what to do with Davey. It was very clear to me he was not from wherever I was in that moment. You know, when they're going on strike in front of the, wherever they are, when they go on strike, Davey had never been there. So it was really easy for me, Ben, to channel the sort of new kid on the block vibe. So that was very easy for me to access. I didn't even have to, it's not even like I had to access it. It was just like, I get it. I know what that's like. So for me, that's really what is the core of Davey. Is he's a fish out of water. He's a kid in a place that he's never been before. And he's a smart guy, and he's an empath, and he recognizes when change needs to happen. You know, his father got in some kind of dramatic accident with and got laid off, and they didn't have any benefits, and this was pre-unions. So this kid was smart enough to know this isn't right. You shouldn't get hurt on the job and then have it be your fault and get fired. You know, and I think that's what puts this idea in his head. It's like, okay, even though we're kids, they can't just mistreat us and ask us to just keep working. That doesn't seem right. And so he kind of brings his brains to the operation. And, one of my favorite dynamics is Jack and Davey in one of the early scenes in The World Will Know. It's almost like Jack is translating Davey's voice to the newsies, because Davey's saying all these brainy things and Jack is like, yeah, they gotta understand we work hard, you know, and then everyone's like, yeah, now we get it. So it was a lot of for me about just like making sure I stayed on that one side of that dynamic so that I could give myself an arc that by the time act two came around, Davey finds a place of belonging, he feels like he knows who he is, he gets his people around him, and it was a very satisfying thing to be able to craft that. And again, just hands off to Harvey, who wrote it in the script. So I'm not saying I made that up out of nowhere. I mean, I just took what he did and it came very easily, and I was so happy to be there. And I love Davey.
Yeah, I like that. Sometimes we don't love our characters that we play. I always like to ask people what they dislike about their characters as well. Yeah. Now, what about Spot and Specs here? What are the dirty secrets about those characters that you kept
I think that like to speak on what we were saying before about Circus McGurkus, that like Chris encouraged us to he built the show around us.
Yeah.
They even Chris, Jeff Calhoun, the whole creative team, they very much allowed us to bring ourselves to these characters. So I never felt like I was fully diving into somebody that was so different from who I am. I almost felt like I was like bringing myself to Spot. And that like was so rewarding because we left our like handprint on this show then, because we made choices that are still being done in the productions in all over the country, all over the world today. You know what I mean? So like that came from us. And I feel like that was super special. And I remember feeling like that at the time. And I never like, I'll always appreciate that about the show.
Also, Tommy, when you weren't playing Spot and you were playing a newsie, your newsie name was Tommy Boy, which was named after you.
Oh,
how freaking cool is that? Like, that's amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, and that was totally coincidental.
Yeah. Like, Harvey, I think Harvey named it for on.
They did that for us. Yeah, they needed to name a few other newsies, so they picked that name for my newsie. It was great.
Also, so Mike cool. Feist playing Mike.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
And then Brent playing Ike.
Mike and Ike.
What about you, Ryan?
Yeah, everything what Tommy said. It just felt really organic. Harvey did such a great job at spreading out the involvement of characters, and but in terms of characterization and who they are, it was really just us spending time with each other. And even on stage stuff, like who was joking around on stage was turned into race. You know what I mean? Like the characteristics that they saw in the room, because I wasn't cast as Specs. I was cast as Newsie as cast, and we had about 3 days, 4 days in the room. And our first table read, I read for half of Henry and half of, I don't even think I read, and maybe I did half of Specs and half of Henry. And they just kind of played around with where we existed. And then once we were placed, it even got just more specific as we spent more and more time together. Like, I remember there were so many scenes where we're back in the towers and we're just bantering and existing as newsies. And that just, that informed a lot for me, I guess. Yeah, it was cool. It was a really cool process. And it's fun to look back at it like this. I haven't really thought about it in this way in a long time.
That reminds me. Yeah. Sorry, Ben. That reminds me that Ryan Breslin at one point played Romeo. And I remember that because we were choreographing like a fight or something. And I was like, Romeo. And I like had a thing with him. And yeah. And Jeff Calhoun also, just like Chris, was so great about letting us bring ourselves to the roles that a lot of times the way we would block a scene would just start with, all right, get up there. And it's like you'd go stand by your friend or you'd go be silly. And then sort of morphed its way into the blocking.
Yeah,
that's, I think, a very special thing that for a director to empower their actors like that
and to trust their actors with.
Sure.
All right, quickly, we got to move to the Newsies lightning round. Most difficult number to perform in the show.
Seize the day.
Yeah,
seize the day, hands down. Favorite moment to perform in the show.
Once and for all.
That's a good one. I'll say King of New York. That is a really good answer because there is something special about just like riding those towers downstage. You can, and the way it was lit, you could see the entire audience and everyone was just gagged. It was everything. But King of New York too was just like so special. Also, like as a non-dancer, getting to like tap dance on Broadway.
Baby, you can tap, Ben Finkhauser. Baby, you are not a non-dancer.
Enough with that.
That's why I love you.
So coy. Now you own
that. Hi.
He said koi.
We have an inside joke about the koi because at Paper Mill there's a famous koi pond.
Oh.
And
you just said koi.
It's famous to us. I don't know how famous it is, but it's famous to us.
Oh, it's a huge, it's a worldwide famous. You seen those koi? They're like a foot long.
Well, they'll keep growing as long as you give them space. Forget about it.
Terrific fish, just an amazing fish.
One of my favorites, really. Craziest onstage mishap for you.
One time I split my pants from knee to knee as I was about to do a leapfrog. That's for those of you who don't know what that is, I'm jumping over a human body, probably about 6.5 feet in the air at its peak, with my entire crotch of my pants split open and my legs are wide open in the second position.
Wow, that's vulnerable, is what that is.
That was vulnerable.
And well worth the price of admission for the audience.
Right, the lottery winners.
Oh my gosh, did they faint? They must have fainted. There had to be swooning.
I hope so. I hope there was some fainting.
What about you, Tommy?
My biggest mishap was when I really had to go to the bathroom during the entire act two. And then finally I cut out for bows and I went and took a shit off stage. It was the worst smelling shit. Everybody was bugging out afterwards. It was one of those, like, I had one of those like attacks where your face turns white, pale white. I was dripping sweat throughout the entire act two. And it was really, really painful. But I made it through, and then I caused a big commotion. And that was definitely my most embarrassing moment and biggest mishap.
I'm so happy you can talk about it now.
Yep. I'm an open book. We're all open books here. So that's it.
How about you, Ben?
That makes me nostalgic for the Niederlander, which is notoriously a very small theater, not meant for a gigantic musical like Newsies, where there were like probably a total of like 3 bathrooms in the entire building, like, and that we all had to share. Okay, so my one of my biggest onstage mishaps, when we were in previews, this is so rare for me. I don't know why. I try not to go up on my lines. It doesn't really happen very often. I'm knocking on wood right now. And for whatever reason, I don't know what was going on, I went up on almost an entire scene worth of lines. And this was the scene in question that I was actually just telling you about, where Davey is saying, "This isn't right. We're working and they're denying us rights." And then Jack sort of translates that to street talk to the Newsies. Mm-hmm. And I fully went up on my lines. And so I was like kind of floundering. And it was like a moment where it's like, spotlight, say your lines. And I'm like, we work so hard. And Jeremy is looking at me like, looking like, I wonder where this is going to go. And he goes, "Yeah, we work so hard. What else?" And I was like, and it's not right. And he's like, "Yeah, it's not right. What else?" And then I was like, "Ah!" And then he saved me and started like saying my lines. And it just so happens that that was the day that they were taping the show for like archival purposes for the stage management to teach the show to people
and
to
the
review
dance
for
captain.
The dance captain. And the dance captain,
maybe on the 25th anniversary, I'll leak that footage.
And of all the days to go up on my lines, to have it immortalized in the show, in like the you know, like, it was pretty embarrassing, and I got made fun of a lot.
God, that makes me happy. I know we've got to be respectful of time here. And I know, Ryan, you've got to bounce out there and take care of the body, take care of the moneymaker.
I'm not a newsie anymore.
Listen, and I'm not, and I never was. So
we can decades, a long time. Look, a lot changes over 10 years.
A lot can happen. There's a lot of walking in between that. So Ryan, thank you so much for being here and spending your time with us. And I've remained a devoted fan and can't wait to see you again in person.
Likewise, Ben.
Love you, Rye Guy.
Love you all. Thanks for listening, iHeart Broadway listeners.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Bye, y'all. Love you, Ryan.
Love you.
Bye.
It's not common that a show regularly gets standing ovations in the middle of a show. But Newsies did. Newsies had this happen regularly. And for such a taxing show, I'm sure I can't imagine how spent you were by the end of prepping for the show, doing the show, stage dooring after the show. How powerful is that reaction from an audience when you've got to push through an 8-show week or a 9-show week, you know, it's all, or a changing schedule? And how did that move and inform your performances?
That is so special. I'm going to say something about you, Tommy, which I don't know if you're going to like or not, but that is such a special feeling. And when I hear you say that, you know, I never felt like, oh, thank God they're standing up because I need a second to catch my breath. I mean, yes, we had our inhalers on the side of the stage. Yes, we were breathless to the point of like, I don't know if I'm going to turn. This is going to be an asthma attack or if I'm going to be okay. We'll see in the next 5 seconds. But like, it was never like, oof, thank God I have this break. It was like, I can't believe they're standing up. I can't believe they love it so much. I'm so glad I just gave all I had. I do it again. And I'm going to tell a quick anecdote about Tommy because I love you so much. And one of my favorite memories of you was on our, I believe it was our first preview on Broadway when we did Carrying the Banner. And I got to live all the glory of the applause of Carrying the Banner without having to do any of the work in the number because my character entered at the very end. And so I got to be there like for the button and people are on their feet and clapping. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. And all I did was walk in. Yeah. Everyone's like panting out of breath. And it's a freeze, you know, go, like freeze, button, freeze, applause. And Tommy, I see out of the corner of my eye, Tommy is looking all around the theater. He does not know where to freeze. He is like taking, because people are standing up, people are cheering, they're yelling, they're throwing roses at us. He is like looking all over the place. And I'm like, we're in a full freeze right now, except for Tommy Boy, who is like having his dreams come true right now. And it was, I mean, I know we all wanted to look around and there were some darting eyes, yes. But Tommy was like, I don't give a fuck about this freeze. I am fully like just gonna take in this moment because this is a once in a lifetime moment. And I think we all felt that. And I think we were all Tommy Boy in that moment.
Do you remember this?
Oh, I remember this. Aaron Albano called me the oscillating fan. That was my name because my head, he said during this freeze, was just going left to right, left to right.
The only movement on stage, frozen, mind you, for like, you know, a good 45 seconds.
Just fully making sure you're taking every bit of adoration that's flying off the balcony.
I couldn't believe it. It was just like, so, you know what it is too, because I come from the dance competition world. So like in that world, you are screaming for your friends when they're on stage. It is like what you do. But then when I got into theater, it was like, you know, you get a nice applause. Like it's like sensible. It's very sweet. It's very cute. But then Newsies came along and I was like, oh my God, this is like, I haven't experienced this in theater. Like, this is insane. So it meant the world to a bunch of us, I think, coming from the dance world, especially because that's like what you did growing up. I mean, not even just the dance world, like even doing shows in high school, when your friends would be on stage and a number would finish, you would scream your faces off for them. Like that's what we did as kids.
Long like, Man of La Mancha. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Shenandoah.
Man of La Mancha. It doesn't matter what it was, just screaming. So to hear that happen in the theater on Broadway, that was something I hadn't experienced on Broadway. Like even seeing shows, I hadn't seen that happen before. So right. It did feel special and I did want to take every minute in of it. And I did move on that freeze.
I love that. So that's such an organic, authentic moment. So now that you particularly have been immortalized in the taped version of the show, tell me about the impact of that and Newsies. There's new fans coming in and what was either filming that like, or what has the legacy been of being part of that?
Well, the filming of it was really crazy, really fun and amazing, kind of like you're seeing a miracle happen around you. And there's so many moving parts. You know, I think we had, I don't know, 11 cameras going.
That's a lot.
When we were shooting, I mean, it was like very Hollywood and very cool. And at the same time, we were doing our same old Newsies that we'd loved for many years. And we got to meet new people that have been doing it on tour. And it was a very special experience. And in terms of the legacy, I think we're still kind of early into the quote legacy of this movie. And I feel it by, I get to meet young people who are like in their early teens or even like in their adolescent years who would have never gotten to see the show in New York. You know, maybe they weren't even freaking born at that
yet,
point, but
yeah.
Like, you know, but the fact that they get to see what we did on Broadway, what we did on stage, what we made together, the fact that they get to see that in a professional, like in a way that was shot just so beautifully. I pinch myself constantly. That is not lost on me how like rare that is and how special that is. And I kind of can't believe that I'm part of that. And it makes me so happy as a former theater kid who loved my movie musicals too, you know? And so to get to be that face that people recognize, that is pretty cool. That's really cool.
Oh, yeah. Tommy?
Yeah, I mean, basically just echoing everything that Ben just said, it's very, like, just surreal. Like, I still, like, kind of can't believe it. It feels like another lifetime ago at this point. And I mean, I'm just so grateful. Like, I'm so grateful that it happened. I wish I could do it over again. I wish I could, like, feel that now, honestly. It was so special. And I think, like, it was so special for so many different ways. Like, it was special for, like, the bond that we had, the cast, but it was also special for the change that the show was bringing and how it affected people. Like we said, like, going outside and, like, people go nuts at the stage door because it moved them. It changed them. It made a difference in their lives. Even the fact that, like, we're still doing this, this is 10 years later, nothing's happening with me. But, like, it's still relevant to, like, talk about it because it made that much of an impact. I didn't, like, realize at the time when I was cast, like, when we first started this out, like, that we would still be talking about Newsies all these years later. Like, I just didn't know at the time. But Newsies is still special. It's still meaningful. It still is relevant. And it's because it was truly one of a kind, and there was something very special about it. You can't deny it. And everybody feels it when they do the show. Now I'll have people write to me online and they'll say, there's something about this show. I'm doing it right now. And I can't put my finger on it, what it is, but I've never felt this way performing in a show before in my entire life. And people are feeling that, all theater kids all over the world now. And we felt that. That's exactly how we felt. And it's still it's still stuck with us all these years later. We still feel the residual effects of Newsies on Broadway, Newsies the movie. It's still, like, a part of us, and it always will be. And I hope that it will be for all the people that are doing it out now. You know, I hope that it has that same effect on them.
Well, that is about the most beautiful cap to this conversation I could imagine. If you're driving and listening and you're crying now, please do pull over. We don't need to be a hero getting over to medieval times tonight. All right, gentlemen, I thank you so much for your time. This has been such a wonderful hang. And I am such a big fan of all three of you. And I wish you continued success. And that I hope that I will get to see you in real life very, very soon. Thank you again with all my heart. See you soon. Yes. Bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a fan. We love you.
I could have talked to them for hours. Want to say thanks to Ben, Ryan, and Tommy for taking this trip down Newsy memory lane with me. My inner child is forever damaged and will always feel left out. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you rate and review us. You can share us with your friends. Tell everybody you know about the show. Also, if you'd like to support us further, remember, you can do so on Patreon. You can click the link in the liner notes. Always a fun thing to say. Link in the liner notes to support us, and you're going to get specially made content just for you, our Patreon family. All right, my friends, I'm your Broadway buddy. Broadway buddy, what is my name? Your Broadway buddy. I am your Broadway buddy, Ben Cameron, saying, have a great show.